Heavenly Father, we know that you have given us the spirit of teachability, and we know the world does not have that because particularly the Christian world doubts that there is anything that it doesn't have and doubts that there's anything it needs to know, doubts that anything could come and they would not recognize it, doubts that anything from you, Lord, but what they would participate in it. And we know that that is because they are unteachable, even as Cain was not teachable, even as he was confronted by you. And this hour, Lord, in the hour of great confrontation, the great appearing, we know that the true Spirit is the Spirit within us of the Holy Spirit, given to us to teach us. And if we are of you, Lord, then we will be taught, for all God's children shall be taught of him. Help us, therefore, to recognize this is our stand above any stand, our tie post above any tie post, the evidence above every evidence that we are teachable. We can learn from you. We admit that we are in error. We are disobedient children, not children of disobedience, that want to continue in our stubborn, willful way. But, Lord, we want, above all else, to be subject to you and your word. And we know if we have the Spirit of Christ, we will be subject to the word, especially the teaching, and then from there, growing in grace and in your knowledge, will be pleasing unto you, coming to maturity. That's what we desire this morning. We confess that we are that, but we're looking for more. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we were looking at what we see is going on, and everybody is so worried about the stock market, and at the same time, you have these people on the air, and I listen to some of the programs as I drive back and forth, maybe in half an hour listening, three-quarter hour sometime, and they're still touting their books, which are claiming that the bull market is a wonderful market. There's nothing to be afraid of a bear market. And then suddenly the bottom goes out, and at least a good 7, well, it's about, what, 4% or something like that. It's not too high, 7%. That's against 1987, 25%. And I notice the advertisements are still saying, no, you have nothing to be afraid of. Well, then the market had a bit of recovery. And we read some of the new articles in the paper, and one particularly was where a group of people lost $50 million. Now, let's just take a look at some of these things. I want to write them here, and I'm going to get over this as quick as I can. All right, let's say that there's the number of people here were 500 people that invested. And those people invested $10,000 apiece. Well, that's a pretty good bit of money, but it's no record breaker. What can you really do with $10,000? It was a tonsillectomy, appendectomy, you know, or even getting your ear punctured and putting an earring in. What's 10,000 bucks? Well, you could ask Rodman about that. I don't know how expensive his earrings are, but $10,000, you know, it's peanuts, really, but that's what it is. Okay, over here then, the total we've got actually then $5 million, let's say we have $5 million. I'm not going to go to the $50 million, the $50 million thing there, but we got $5 million, and then let's say that back there in 1987, those shares were 20 bucks a piece. We got 250,000 shares of stock here. Now here in 1997, as of September, that's your 9 month in there, those stocks came up to say $50 million. And so here we are right here. We got all this money. And all this money came from this $5 million over that period of time. Let's say it's 9 years. So actually what you're looking at, the actual loss, you don't know it's $50 million. That's potential. That's what their claim is when you consider the rise in the stock. Now, what did they actually lose? We don't even know they lost even $5 million. So let's just talk about the fact that at 9%, if you have $5 million here, and you have, say, 9% over 10 years, roughly, you'd have $4,500,000. Now, if they were entirely wiped out, they have lost $9,500,000, right? That's actually what they've lost. They haven't lost $50 million. See? Because that was never cashed in. That is what you say the market value is, and that is what it should have brought in. The point is, who had the money to buy it? Who knows? So when they say we lost $50 million, you can't say that. What if you and I invested, we'll say, we hear that there's a, well, let's say that we thought it was a good deal to buy the DeLorean car, you know, that fellow that was at General Motors or so on and so forth, and he raised a lot of money, and I thought he'd make a, was there 5,000 cars, something like that, maybe less than that? And you say, well, okay, I know now that that car is going to be an antique, it's going to be, well, what about Tucker? Now, that's a better example still. I had a friend who worked with Tucker. And Tucker had a real good car that the Big Tree, actually, from what they say and what movie came out on and everything else, that they told so many lies that they bankrupted Tucker. Now, let's say we had one of his cars. Okay, we buy it for $10,000, and we trust we are going to get $100,000 back. Well, the point is, if it took 20 years to get the $100,000 and you still don't get it, you have a car worth $10,000, but you've lost the interest. So when they talk about all of this great horrendous thing happening right now, there's nothing much to that, the actual manipulation of the stock market. But what is really happening behind the scenes? Well, let's take a look at it. Behind the scenes here is really your money system. We've got your Federal Reserve, and you've got whatever's in Europe over here and every place else. And remember, what was in Europe and all this junk here, America took when they really shouldn't have taken it. That's where Rothschild came in, and he said, I don't care who makes the laws as long as I can print the money. So what do you got in the banks? Now, let's say now, instead of you putting this $10,000 a piece, you put this $5 million into the bank. Now, the $5 million... you own, the bank doesn't own. But they've got a charter, they're a corporation, they're granted by the government, it's to play footsie with the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve issues the money, it pulls the money back, and they do it by interest and various connivings. I don't know how they do it, because nobody understands the Federal Reserve. I don't care how smart he is, there's nobody understands it. There's just nobody living can actually figure it. We get a lot of talk about it, but you really know about it. But this is the most I know about the money system. I understand, here's our $5 million by these 500 investors. Now the bank is paying the highest rate of interest you're going to get on this today. It used to be as much as 8%, 7%. Scudders were paying 10% under, when Reagan took over. It was highly inflation, double digit figure. I know because I had a few bucks in there myself. What did I have? $10,000 and I got 10%. That's good money. 10% interest. But today, what do you get? You get about 4.25 is going to be maximum if you let your money sit in there. If you put a current account in there, you maybe get 2.25%. Now, but here is $5 million. Now, according to my understanding, the banks can loan all of that $5 million except 4%. It's supposed to be 4% left in there. Kind of like escrow. Boy, 4% of your money left in there, and the bank takes, now look at, 96% of that $5 million the bank has on books. Now, when you go to the bank, and there's not just $5 million, there may be 50, well, there could be $5 trillion out there that the banks have control of, and they only allow it, forced by the government to keep 4% on in their cash reserve in the bank. Okay, you tell me that when General Motors or little George Jones or Jack in the box goes to the bank to get a loan, that they say, here's the money. They don't do it. They simply give you credit. Now, how many times can the banks lend out that 96% simply by books? Now, they'll tell you it's not being done. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for 15 seconds. Otherwise, why are the banks failing? The banks lend money that they can't get back. We have lent money to nations, trillions of dollars, as far as I know, if not multiplied hundreds of billions, and we're not getting a nickel back. Where's the money coming from? Money doesn't breed. I can put two $10 bills together, and I will not get $100 back. Can't do it. So, what I'm trying to point to you is this. This money here that's lost up here, let's say all of it's lost. It didn't evaporate. Where is it? Who's got it? Somebody's got it. Now, if this group here that lost these so-called $50 million and actually only invested $5 million and the company went bankrupt, then what you're looking at is the loss of jobs. And you're looking now at stagnation. You're looking at deflation. Because at this point, 10%, it used to be 30, 10% now own 70% of all the wealth in the world. That means 90%, that's you and me, own a mere 30% of it. 90%. We are down to bare peanuts. Now this money in the original stock market, Joe Kennedy cleaned up $400 million because he was told what you and I weren't told. And you most of you aren't old enough to know anything about it anyway. I was 15 years old when the stock market went down. Almost a month to 15 years of age. I went down, the stock market went down. He put $400 million. Now the point is, you're looking at this figure here, 10% owning 70% of the entire wealth of the world. Now, let's look at this figure here. This guy has this liquidity. He's got money. You've got other guys that bailed out, they got money. What about 1987? Perot? How did Perot know the stock market needed correction? You're going to tell me that there's not an inside track somewhere that's run by the Prince of the Power of the Universe. The satanic system. And I'm not saying there's a double government. I'm just trying to bring up facts and figures of what's in the world today. And I'm not very smart. As I say, Todd would do much better because he's an accountant. But the fact of the matter is you are looking at 10% of the people owning 70% of the wealth of this world. Now, how do they own it? They can own it in oil wells. They can own it in businesses. They can own it here. They can own it there. Or they can also have large amounts of cash. They can have large amounts of gold. But there's no place on any record that I can find that these people are buying up large amounts of gold and silver and precious stones, which isn't going to do any good anyway. Because it's only those that have the gold, and if the government legislates they're going to take the gold, you have nowhere to hide. You are simply out. So I'm from last night, looking at where the banks are. Now, they come in, the banks have lent all this money out here, and all these guys are bankrupt. The 4% doesn't cover anything. The United States government has promised 10% in the Federal Reserve that they'll cover you. That's nothing. They simply can't do it. The savings and loans, which were brought in by politics and lobbyists who wanted to make a killing and made their killing, barely got covered. Now, we got a victim in here, and Greg, he had his money in the savings and loan. He had a hard time getting it out. I was smarter. I had my money across in the bank, church's money, a little bit of mine, in the bank across the street. They were not a savings and loan. They had a tighter game to play. Now, you're not supposed to, banks are not supposed to lend money in order to buy stock or anything which has a challenge to it or a gamble. But if you decide that you're going to risk your own finances, that is your what you have in your bond, not necessarily your bonds, but your house and all, you can take that money and you can buy for it. Now, when that goes on down, everybody down here then, that is so depreciated that up here that was $50 million back here is down here now, and it might not even be $5 million. It might be zero Or it might be, say, $2,500,000. Well, hey, that's not very much money left. And the banks down here, even they got 4%, they've lent this money out here several times. Where are they at? So, what I'm trying to say is this, there's a lot of money out there. There's a tremendous amount of money. It hasn't evaporated. But you've come to the place where you are not going to have the money to buy things. And it's going to be compounded by the fact, if the gold standard coming in, you can only have money to buy things if you're under a system. So now, we're in a position here where there isn't any inflation, so-called, but there has been. And at the same time, people are being laid off in jobs. At the same time, we're finding the businessman has withheld the hire of the laborer. And now because he's done that, his silver and gold is corrupted. So you've got this whole thing in one great big mess here. And nobody can figure it out. And they know there's only one way to get the system working. They've got to come back to a common denominator, which is going to be gold, because I showed you that in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, right in there, those four rivers dividing, showing civilization, and the thing they brought up was gold, fine gold. And you can see right there, remember, God's government was in Eden. And one word out put you outside of that government. And when it put you out there, it put you into civilization, yep. It put you into civilization and to the economy of civilization. Now at the end time, the economy shot. And Satan is in full control. And already the mighty one from heaven, God himself, one foot upon land and one foot upon sea. Revelation 10. And that to me is where Brother Branham brought out that the beast that rose out of the land was America. Dry land, rose out. America's chapter 13, 11, 13 colonies, 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13 everything, producing an antichrist. And now what happens? God coming down. The light came to America, one foot on land, America, where the prophet came out of the land. Just like a root out of dry ground. Yep, that's what I'm looking at. I'm not saying I'm 100% right. I am drawing a principle. I am drawing an analogy or an illustration, whatever you want to call it. Now, with the one foot on America, with the prophet, the word goes out over the seas, which is all. Now, let's follow. The devil can only duplicate God. He doesn't have an original thought. There's got to be a duplication, the two vines. One from the other, one beside. So now, what happens? You have the dry land America, the Antichrist coming out of it, America making the image to the beast, the whole thing, and America has. And starting with the Marshall Plan, it threw it into positive existence. And I'm talking from history and what I feel I know. This is not thus saith the Lord. We're just drawing the picture here, as I see it. And so now America, with its currency, running 74% of the world's volume of trade. Now that I don't care about Rothschild in Europe, I don't care if the Sultan of Brunei is worth $40 billion or $500 billion, I don't care 2 cents for Dodi Fayed's father, who's an Egyptian billionaire, I don't care 2 bits about Monaco, what they've got, or what Switzerland's got, or what the Jews got, or anybody's got. I'm not interested, because it's the American currency that's controlling 74% of the world's commerce. Now, at the same time we get stagflation, everything goes down the drain. And it's going to go down the drain, it's going to stop. And you won't be able to buy and sell without the Antichrist. Why? Because he's the guy that knows how to do it. The rest of them don't. And he's got the gold and he's going to do it. Because remember, one word off was Satan's kingdom. Let's go and read it again. See, I'm in hot water here if I'm not right. But you better believe I don't believe I'm wrong for 1 minute. I only wish Brother Branham was here. Either back me up and cheer me on or say, Lee, you better shut your mouth. It says in verse 10 of chapter 2, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from the thence it was parted and became into four heads. And you can tell right there that God, everything that God stands for in a river, the river of life, goes outside from the kingdom, and watch what happens. Because if God took his hand off, in other words, if God died on Calvary, forget it. How could God die? If God died, even the devil would die. There's nothing without God. Not a rock. Not anything. The first is Pison. That sounds like a serpent. Is that which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold. There you are. If you think I'm wrong, you tell me what it means.
Well, Brother Bill, that's just a little geography.
Is it? Wonderful. Then Calvary never happened either. That's geography in history. On Golgotha. No. You can see it right here. It compasseth like a serpent compassing. Gold. One word off Satan's kingdom. And Satan's kingdom is nothing without God the Creator and Satan putting his hand on it. Or how do you think there's annihilation? You're right back then to the guys who couldn't believe in annihilation because they said, there's nothing annihilated. Even when a thing burns up, it goes to gases. First of all, passing through energy and goes to gases. And what they found right now, by destroying the atom, they now know there's such a thing as annihilation. Oh, brother, people are such phonies. Anyway, I wanted to show you this. To let you know there's something way, way more than just the stock market going down. There's stagnation. They call it stagflation. We had it for a while. They call it recession. We have also deflation because people are going to have to charge less money to get rid of what they got. And by that time, an inventory can break you. That's why everybody's so happy that today they've got a system in the world where you can bring merchandise in without a huge inventory, know the hour it's going to hit your dock and put it in your cars or whatever you're making. And they're happy. Now you take that system, what we've got today, the computerized forces of the world, the telecommunication system, the fact that they can get a dossier in Washington in 12 seconds, and that was years ago, 12 to 20 seconds on every one of us. You can see the system today, and with knowledge increasing, and this was said years ago, double every single year to the fact it'll be double every 6 months. Antichrist got all the gold, the whole thing coming out of America, and right now gold has taken a drop with Swiss and putting 114 tons on the market down to what, 308, is it, Russ, remember? $308 an ounce? Yeah. Who do you think is buying it? 30-some years ago, who was taking $100,000 a year out of New York alone, bingo, to Rome? A papal legate. And as a papal legate, America couldn't even look at his briefcase. Why, they could bring in the bubonic plague here, spread it in every reservoir in the world, because they got immunity. You can kill our people on the streets if you belong to another nation. Immunity. So how many billions of dollars in Rome right now of American money? Now the only money that America destroys is that which comes in dollar per dollar. The Federal Reserve is obligated to make money. We don't know all the story about it. But we do know this, they set prime rate and the ordinary rate. They can put money in and put money out. So the whole thing is now back to the system in the beginning, which is gold, gold, gold. And so that's what I wanted to bring out last night and show you, that say, hey, just forget the whole thing. Put your trust in God. Realize, like me and my wife, and especially me, because I have to be responsible for her, and I will be and have been. If we have to starve, we will lie there and starve. If we have thrown out in the cold, we will go in the cold. But we could both be dying horrible deaths of cancer. We will not go to see Benny Hinn.
or listen to Shelley, or anybody else. Forget it. Death is merely a release from your body. But the life we have never had a beginning, never will have an end, and will one day be just like our Redeemer, who brings many sons into glory. So that's why I wanted to just show you that. Yes, all these figures, the man, they lost $50 million. They never lost $50 million. That's just to lead you astray. Go on back where the real thing is. And your bank's closed down and everything else. And you find you got nothing anymore because somebody, a few people got their hands on the whole bundle. And then the funny thing is, they're stuck too. They're stuck with it. Go to, you rich man, weep and howl for the miseries that come upon you. So who takes over? The guy that's been running the show, the devil, all these years. And he's going to keep running it until the takeover by Jesus Christ. Now remember, the takeover is going on right now. Because God's got to take over the bride, take over His entire kingdom of saints, then we're going to come back with Him, Elohim, incarnated, reincarnated in the Son, take over the whole system. And as Brother Branham said, I don't know if the whole earth would be renovated, but he said he'll renovate at least a part of it. And that's his conversation with me. It could be on the tape. I don't know. And we'll come back and rule and reign them 1,000 years. We'll have our own homes, have our own vineyards, own fig trees. And we may just eat fish sandwiches. I haven't got a clue. Maybe we'll eat a fig sandwich, strawberry sandwich. Fine by me. I don't care what's in. I know I'm going to enjoy it. You won't have a bunch of kids with perverted junk food appetites. And you won't be perverted like your kids with junk food appetite either. I think, well, if they had grapes of Eskel, that one bunch weighed more than the two men could carry. My, you could just sit under one of your vines and eat grapes for the next 2,000 years. Wouldn't feel bad at all. Just feel great. They tell me grapes can cure about anything. Even, you ever hear of a grape cure for cancer? Yep, right in Europe, grape cure. So who knows? So anyway, I wanted to just show you that, how this thing is. It's, just forget about it. Just believe what the prophet said. Just believe the word. This is something the devil's into, something the devil controls. It's from Genesis right to Revelation. You saw it. We brought it out. Genesis 2, right to Revelation. And one day we're going to walk on streets of crystal gold. In other words, you're going to almost literally look through it. Transparent. So beautiful, wonderful. All right. Now that's so much for that. We've got a question here. And maybe this is all we'll have time for. And by the way, I've missed so far two messages, I think. So by the end of the year, instead of preaching 24... there'll be 22 unless I can recover, which I'm going to try to recover and put all 24 messages together. Though I do want to have more time to try to get my own life in order and get quietened down because it's just too hectic at this point. As I said, I'm a week behind or sometimes I'm 2 months behind. And I'd like to get into some manuscripts because people want to have some of the sermons I preached in printed form and I don't want to let them go out under any consideration anymore without complete editing. And so if you want to pray with me about that, I'd appreciate it. But see, personally, I don't care. But if the people want it, then I've got to do something about it. And if you want it, then you better do something about it, which means you pray that I'll have the energy, or I will have the determination to use my energy. To this point, my energy, determination, have a good plate of pasta with shrimp, you know. A lemon butter sauce, something like that, or it's just wander around in a haze. But so anyway, you know, I'm just telling you the truth now. It may sound facetious, but I am telling you the truth. So you pray about that if you care to. I said, you could please refresh our minds on the meaning behind the statement made by Brother Branham concerning the fact that Eve should have borne Christ. Now, I like the thought that said the fact, because a prophet is factual. Spoken word, original seed. I believe the Bible is the word, the whole truth. That's the word as we understand. You know, the whole truth. And Jesus is the word made manifest. He and his word are one and the same. What was he? Now look, he was that seed. Now, I'll read more. He was that seed that Eve should have produced. Do you get it? He was the seed that Eve was to produce, but she hybridized it by disbelieving God's word. So he was that seed, and the only way that life could be in the reproduction of life, life had to come through that seed, and that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. Can't you see it? That's why the water was given to water the seed. Now, this is just putting it in context in a very limited degree. It should be gone into the much broader context so we'd have more of a continuity. But if you'd have had your books open, which you did not, you'd have seen an interpolation which I left out. Brother Branham said, now I've got to hold something back. Now, when did he say that? I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and his Word is one and the same. What was he? Now look, he was that seed. And then he stops and he throws a real mean curve. Because he says, now I've got to hold something back in order to get it in here this evening. You see, it's hard. And that takes people's mind right off of what he is saying. It blows the whole thing. The scripture's full of that. If you don't understand that Revelation chapter 10 is an interpolation, you can go completely bugs. If you don't understand the sealing of the 144,000 is an interpolation, you go nuts. You try to figure chronology. Not only chronology, you try to figure out sensibility. You try to get your point of view. You can't do it. You're locked in. You got a major problem. So Brother Branham, not meaning to throw a curve any more than Paul threw curves with his interpolations. And that's the same you got over there concerning Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews. He throws a curve. All of these are curves. And in throwing the curve, you forget that you are a child of God, full of the Holy Ghost, with the ability to pick up. And if you're part of the fivefold ministry, which is positively unique, you do it for the people who seemingly sometimes cannot do it, and thereby you have it. So now this morning you have it. Now let's say it again and forget the interpolation. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and His Word are one and the same. What was He? Now look, He was that seed. He was that seed that Eve should have produced. That's what He's talking about. Do you get it? Now, what does He base that upon? Huh? Well, let's just look at life. I want to draw something up here in yellow and in red. So, all right, I take my yellow. Oh, you can't even see that. Let's change that. Let's change that. I want to take a pink color. And then I want to do something here in a green color. Now, if I don't do this pink and this green, which looks like I'm not having too much success, not a very good green. Here's a better one. A green here. Because, you see, I want that there as the basis to what I'm going to put on down here. This color here. Now, if you don't get this red and this green, you don't get that. That becomes a mystery to you. And you say, what is this? So let's go back. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. That is the pink and the green that goes to the red. Now, what is the red? He was the seed that Eve should have produced. So there's something up here that's in the Bible that's written or veiled in a mystery that needs to come out. And when it comes out, you will find this down here, which is manifestation, which is Christ. But if you don't understand this, you'll never get this. You've got to understand that this is what is basic to bring forth this. You follow what I'm talking about? You're kind of silent, but I think you understand what I'm getting at. I go over it again. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth. And that's right. That's what he's starting with. Now that right here is my red and my green, or my pink and my green. That is it. Truth. And if anything ever comes of this, it'll be this, which is the manifested seed. Because this is a seed. This is a life. This is a life principle. But it's got to have a chemistry. It's got to have something to produce it. To manifest it. Now, it could be produced in various forms. It could be produced in a form that you and I cannot even see. Because you and I have to deal with that which is visible in some way, shape, and form. Because all we have with us in this body are the five senses. And everything must come through the five senses. No other way. If you don't believe that, then how are you going to have a scientist who could take a microscope and take atom smashers and highly magnified microscopes and everything under high heaven and produce things that the eye cannot see? It's all there, but if he's blind, it doesn't do one bit of good. And he may be fully capable of every single thing I'm talking about, but he's blind. So we are here bound by five senses, as Brother Branham said. Now, Brother Branham brings out what we say here. This which is there, first of all, it came by ideology. God's ideas. God's wisdom. Then it came by a foreknowledge, in the sense, they're both combined, where it's written in a book. Then the third thing is, it's spoken. And at the time of speaking, that we begin to look for manifestation. We'll go into this a little later as I read my notes. But I want to show you the basic of where I'm coming from. And Brother Branham says, the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. And now, that is a term that is general. Marble makes a beautiful statue. But this particular marble makes this statue. So now we've got to the place where we're isolating the Word of God. And the Word of God at this point is isolated to and confined to see Jesus. You follow what I'm saying now? So let's go over it again. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth. Sure it is. Every single thing. History, geography is all in there. Prophecy. Revelation. Judgment. Everything. And Jesus is the Word made manifest. And it's not as though he's saying Jesus is the whole Word, though contingent to it, concerning David and Solomon and everything else, the contingency thing is contingent to it. No doubt about it, because you're dealing with the Spirit, you're dealing with God. And you're dealing with the Son being creator by God and administrator by God. All of these things, you're dealing with it. But this particular one You're dealing with the fact that Jesus is the seed that Eve should have borne, period. You're not dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. You're not dealing with head and feet. You're not dealing with iron and clay. Only indirectly. So get what he's talking about. Not the whole Bible. He's talking about this. Jesus the seed. The seed of the woman. And you know it is because he said Eve should have borne him. Now that's the honey right there. That's the doozy. That's the stickler. He was that seed that Eve should have produced. Do you get it? He was the seed that Eve was to produce, but she hybridized it by disbelieving God's word. Now what did she hybridize? She hybridized the birth of her first male child, which was Cain. So she blew it. Now the question comes out, how in the name of common sense could that be? Well, go back to the Word. Huh? Well, let's go back to the Word. Now, we're going to stop there because I'm going to start reading my notes. And we're going to take the whole thing right through what I've got written down here with that background. Genesis 1, 26 to 29. And this is all we'll have time for this morning. Okay. Reading it. And God said, let us make man in our image. And he wasn't speaking to the devil as a certain man went to Australia and preached that he was. If you don't know his name by now, forget it anyway. I lost faith in this bird years ago. He's the same guy that believed that Satan was the scapegoat. So he had a part in salvation, so he had to push his nose into it. So much for knowing what Brother Branham said about anything, hey? He said the Father was talking to the Son. So now we've got Satan as the Son of God. Now we've got God and the devil the same person. Just this side, that side. Now my brother, sister, if you want to eat bologna instead of pure, tenderloin, beautiful, black Angus, grade number one steak, you can have it. But this morning we're going to deal on pure, number one, black Angus filet mignon of the highest order. All natural, fed with good grain, no pesticides, and no antibiotics. So, all right, you with me? Because that's what we're going to do. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now, if he was talking to the Son, man is not made only with a part of God. He's made in the image of what? Son. So now we're going to have a lot of sons. And Adam is the first one, past Jesus. Because we got God who's Father, we got Jesus the Son, and now God says to the Son, hey, we are going to make a man in our image. We're going to have a lot of children. You're going to be the top son, and all these other sons are going to be under you. They're all children. But I'm starting with you. Now he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Image of God created he, and male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Behold, I have given you every herb, a bearing seed, which is upon face of all the earth, and every tree, and so on. Now, just a minute. I want to ask you a question. Did this ever happen? No. The point is then, does it have to happen? Yes. Well, ask you, did it really happen? Yes. Because Jesus right now says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And he is the one that fulfills this scripture. Huh? Then who was God talking about? Who was that seed? Now come on now, let's go back to Brother Branham. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. What was made manifest concerning this Scripture? Not Adam, not Eve, not Abel, not none of them. Jesus. Now that'll sink your uppers and your lowers right now. Well, come on. Okay. Spoken word. Once spoken, the word must come to pass, but not necessarily at that moment. As Brother Branham illustrated, let there be light. It could have been millions of years later, but it had to come to pass, and don't you believe it won't. And when it comes to pass, the manifestation is God's interpretation of His Word because He fulfills it. And you and I wouldn't have a clue unless He made it manifested in such a way that we could grasp it. When you see God descend from the heavens and stand before groups of men and declare Himself as ever He did. Okay. Can you take it? Oh, no, you got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know some things by yourself. Oh, bless God. Oh, shut up. You make me sick. I know this Pentecostal clack, crash, and balderdash. I've been told, like the boys on the internet, well, you wouldn't understand. Well, I've had some things happen in my life, too, brother. Yeah, so have I. When I was a kid, I stepped on a nail. I limped for months. I fell in a gopher hole, and I broke a piece of my ankle or my foot, something, and I suffered for 6 weeks. Sure. I got hit on the head. Sure, and I had visions, and they don't mean a thing. I get so fed up. Now notice, 26 to 29 did not begin to come to pass until Genesis 2, 4 to 9. These are the generations of heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heaven and the earth. Now the Lord God made them through Jesus Christ, but God made them. That's where the Jesus only get all mixed up, because they know Jesus was the creator, but only indirectly. The same as God shed His blood indirectly. Because it was of Jesus was the blood of God. And it had to be because the life is in the blood. And Brother Branham said it had to have a chemistry. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till this ground. Now there you are. He's supposed to, this fellow back here is supposed to eat the herb and everything else, and he can't do it. They went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole ground, and the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground, breathing his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He breathed into this man the breath of lives. So he had two lives in him right away. Had a dual person, Adam and Eve. He called their name Adam. God didn't say Eve. He didn't make it male and female. It's a life. The determination of that life through flesh is what counts. And the Lord God planted a garden east of Eden. They put the man who He had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is to grow, that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also amidst the garden. The tree of the knowledge is good and evil. Now, with that we go to 23:24. I've got to watch my notes. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. She was a part of him. Part of his body, part of everything. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay. Now back here before Eve was formed, after verse 7 and 8 and 9, where God talked to Adam, it says the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to rest and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it. For the day of eating of dying thou surely die. He doesn't say that to the woman, he said that to the man. He said that to the man. Of course, the woman had to obey that too. And also 18-25, the Lord God said, it's not good the man be alone, I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And that word means, I'll make one like unto him. I'll make one just exactly like him out of him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and so on and so on. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. There wasn't found one like him. So if there wasn't found one like him, Adam's now in the flesh, there's no way that he could produce. There's no way that he could have any children. So he had to have a vessel that could provide children for that life that's in him. So it didn't matter whether it's male or female was in him. The point is he had to have a vessel that would come forth like him to produce children. And it talks about nakedness, giving you an understanding how it's going to be, how they'd be produced. There wasn't found to help me. Now notice it says here that Adam gave names to all of them that were in pairs. Doesn't say anything about the giving the name to the beast, but the beast was there. Then notice how he gave his wife a name. She called woman, taken out of man, then he called her Eve because she's the mother of all living. We know that because she bore Cain. Okay. And reading on down, he calls to sleep. And there they are, able now to propagate and to bring forth. And notice particularly, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she'll be called woman because she's taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Now that's prophetical. See? Showing that this the seed life here had to have a chemistry for evidence. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they should be one flesh. And the fact of nakedness shows that there will be the reproductive act will take place. That's what this is all about in here. Now, there has to be then chemicals or the chemistry in order to bring forth these ones. So we go back to Genesis again, 1:26-29. Let us make man rich after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle of the earth, and so on. God created man his own image. God created him, male and female created he them. It's in one person. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Why not? Because God had breathed into him the breath of lives. Every single child of God was put into Adam. That's all there is to it. The life that God placed in his son, we'll see that in Ephesians, positively was placed into Adam. Genesis 1:26-29 is transferred, as it were, which we read about, to Genesis 2:4-25. That tells you there, we could read it all. We don't have to. God made Adam out of the ground, the body, breathing his nostrils breath of lives, put him in the Garden of Eden. He begins his work of overcoming all the animals and subduing all the earth. And remember, he couldn't do it until he had the wisdom of God to name the animals. That's as far as he got. He would have to name all the butterflies, all the insects, all the fish, all the trees, everything else. They haven't done it even to this day. And unless you can name them and know the ecology and the association, you will destroy everything that God made. And they've done it. And God will destroy those that destroy the earth. See? When you consider the great Pentecost of Mr. Watts, who was in the environmental, what is he, same as Babbitt has now, under this guy, and he was ready to destroy everything, even the redwoods and everything else, and for money. You can tell where the Pentecostals are, because they all said what a great, great Pentecostal, full gospel businessman he was. Well, if he doesn't get destroyed because he's destroying the earth, then I miss my guess, and I'm not trying to condemn the man, I'm pointing it out. You simply cannot claim for God anything unless you're walking in that light, and you recognize it. It doesn't say that you're perfect. Like David knew better than to covet his neighbor's wife, commit adultery and kill, but he did it. But these guys don't even know. The things of God are so intangible, there's no tangibility with them. Okay. So Genesis 1:26-29, let us make man rich and so on. is transferred over to where God actually does it and puts them in a position now to supply the chemistry or the elements which will accrue to the life that is there in them, that God breathed in them, to bring forth God's children, the same as dogs bring forth dogs and pigs bring forth pigs, maple trees bring forth maple trees, oak trees bring forth oak trees, monarch butterflies bring forth monarch butterflies, head lice bring forth head lice, chicken lice bring forth chicken lice, tree frogs bring forth tree frogs. What I'm trying to get to you, show you, there is a life that is defined by the elements that are appear, that are finite, that are created, that are formed, that are molded. And you can tell way ahead of time, even by crossbreeding, what you're going to get in animals. Now, they didn't just get a pretty tan-colored horse with a beautiful white mane accidentally. See? So, you see this, we're talking about seed. And the seed has a covering. And in the covering, there's everything there to initiate that life. And all you got to do is have a properly germatized seed, as Brother Branham said, in the proper fertilized soil, give it the sun and the light, it's going to come forth. Now, he said one time, he said, if you had two seeds and you couldn't tell one from the other, what do? You plant them. When the seed comes up, you know what you got. Then he illustrated life and death by the church, true and false. He said they developed a corn in Indiana. That is in the laboratory. They made layer upon layer. They put the little germ in there. It was phony. And they put the layer, the protein, they put the starch, they put the skin on it. Every single thing, the husk. And they couldn't tell it from a real one. So they said, put it in the ground. Of course, the live one came up and the dead one stayed there. That's the first resurrection. Except you got to bring in the foolish virgin. And I'm just going to leave them alone because that's kind of beyond me. I know a little bit about them, but not too much. So, all right, Genesis 1, 26 to 29 is transferred, as it were, over to Genesis 2, 4 to 25. This is a scenario, a naked couple, capable of producing a whole succession of generations of flesh, used the order of God to bring forth the children of God, was done at that very time. Now, watch what I read. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. For this cause shall all men leave their homes and set up their own homes and bring forth their children. You follow me? Okay. To show you this, we go to 1 Corinthians 11. And we get into some very blunt material here. 3 to 12. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. If the head of every man is Christ, then he's a first fruit. Then if he's a first fruit, Eve should have borne him. She blew it. So it came to Mary. She bore him. You see, the word of God never fails. I know everybody said, well, you see what Adam lost and turned the devil. Hallelujah, Jesus redeemed, and that's it. That's just a part of the truth. Do you think the people that teach that as fun minutes would believe what I'm teaching from Brother Branham this morning? Forget it. They don't even know how can they know? They can't know because you're not a part of God. You know, the devil perverts the word even to the little fine point. Like Brother Branham said, the most horrible lie in this world, the most complete, is 99% true. One word off. Okay. Have you know the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So God said to the Son, let us have many sons in our image. That happened. Every man prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. So when the women began to cut their hair, that's when women's lips started. And when they started women's lib, they said, roll them, girlies, roll them. Roll your stockings. What do you say? Roll them, girls, roll them. Let's see. Laugh at ma, laugh at pa. Give them all the ha-ha. Roll them, girlies, roll them, roll your own. Yeah, and said, then it talked about the knees. I forget. I remember that song. I said, yell out of the top of my voice, too. Yeah, back in the 20s. Roll them, girlies. Oh, that was great fun. But what did I know about it? I was strictly sensual. Born in sin, shaped iniquity. A sheep lying in the hog pen. If you're weaned on hog food, you'll love hog food. Nothing to it. Eat manure at the chickens, you'll think it's the greatest thing in the world. Anyway, let's keep reading. All right. It says here the woman, if she might as well shave her head if she cuts her hair. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image. Notice he not in the image, he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. So now just a minute. When God said, let us make man in our image, he sure was talking to the Son. Because you can't make an image unto God. God made his own image. His own body. Started off with Adam. For the man, listen, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. So therefore, everything that she was, she had to get from him. For this cause, the woman ought to have the sign of authority on her head because of the angel. What's the sign of authority? Uncut hair. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither woman without the man in the Lord. Where does uncut hair come from? Disobedience to God. Eve showed her lack of recognition of Adam's authority when she went with the beast. She was a harlot right there, a prostitute, and she should have had her head shaved and cast out of the garden. But it couldn't be done, of course, because Adam quickly intervened, played God, and saved her. And neither could God get rid of her because she was a part of Adam. But she was not in the original. There's nothing against women. This is just what is historical. Because if a woman started out as a part of the man, like a twin within, male and female, he called their name Adam, then she is just as much a part of God as the man. And she has her part to play, even as Adam has his part to play, and there's no such thing as true Christians born again unless both the male and the female, the husband and wife relationship, is played according to Scripture. One is a goat or a pig or something else. Or both. Well, you sure haven't learned who you came from or what you are to walk in the dignity of the life of God. Not just that simple. Because breathed into him was the breath of lives. The full ability with this woman to bring forth every generation unto God. And remember, Christ, if he's the first fruit now, he always was the first fruit. Can't change. Brother Branham looked down one night and he said, God knew before there's a speck of stardust, I would be here preaching and you folk would be here listening. I think he said that in 1965 in California. I guess he shook him stem to stern on that one. Now it says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Okay, verse 11. Now here's what I'm looking at. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So what you're looking at here is the perfect thing that God brought before us, and it leaves us without all this sexual connotation. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm this. I'm that. No. You're a child of God. And that's what the Greek says. Born one is not son of God. It's used wrong in Scripture. When it says sons and daughters of God, come out and be separate and show your sons and daughters of God, that's different from the word in the Greek which is translated through the Bible as sons. It's born one. It's used, as it were, in the neutral, where no gender is implied, but the thing itself or the life itself is designated, like we showed you over there in Corinthians, when it says own, his own, or her own. His is not there, the pronoun, and her is not there as a pronoun. The word own is there. And whatever the subject is you're talking about designates the sex. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 13 and also, what is the 7th chapter? I forget. All right. So we're looking at this here, and we read to verse 12. Now, number one. We saw number one, Genesis 1, 26 to 29. Make man in his image, male and female made him, have power over the creation. Number two, we saw man made physical, and we saw the woman made physical in a separation. And now in this separation, she is fully capable of bearing these generations with Adam. Now the point is, notice, she got her life from Adam. And if she wants to propagate, then the same life comes from Adam, which came from the Son of God, which came from God. Right, that's what you're looking at. The beast has no part in this. Now, remember, there's a first fruit to bear many sons. First fruit, many sons like the first one. Because that's where the first fruit is. That's why he's the first begotten. He's more than the first fruit once. He's the first fruit twice. And he's the first fruit even three times for all, right down the line. Because he was the first son of God. Then he was the first risen from the dead. He's the first to take, and will be the first to take complete charge until he hands the kingdom back to the Father. He's that first. Always watch that first. You can't break type any more than nature. See, people think, oh, God said this, but it didn't work, so God did that. Oh, forget it. You've got what I said. The thought, the writing, the spoken. And once that's spoken, forget it. You couldn't change it if you tried. If Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, you've got your healing, you could say, I don't want that healing. I don't acknowledge that healing. I'll never testify to it. You better believe you're healed because the doctors will prove it and you'll stand before God wishing you to keep your mouth shut and just praise God. See, I'm so strong on thus saith the Lord and vindication that I don't turn a hair. Why should I? God doesn't either. So, all right. Number one, Genesis 1, 26, 29. Number two, Genesis 2, 4 to 25. But watch number three does not follow number two as Eve interrupts Genesis 2, 23 to 25 by Genesis 3, 1 to 13. Now in there you'll notice that Genesis 1 is all about creating the image and this is this and so and so. Genesis 2 is the putting in the human bodies ready for propagation. So what we're looking for now is the fulfillment, which should have followed. To whom, by whom it is manifested that this word was applied because nobody but Jesus could fulfill it. Nobody. Because nobody could do the will of God like Jesus. The will of God was there, but nobody could do it. Thank God He did it. We by faith can apprehend it. Now, so you go to Genesis 3, 1 to 13. Now keep in mind what I read over here in the book of 1 Corinthians. It tells you how it all comes about and what everything is in here. And remember, this is a divine order. And now listen, remember the divine order.
neither the woman without the man in the Lord. All things are of God. So here's where you see God's having his way in spite of what man did. And the word comes to pass according to God's own desire and understanding, and the interpretation comes to you and me by the manifestation thereof. And the manifestation thereof is Jesus coming back with his bride and him doing it all. Because I'm going to tell you, an army without a general that can give the commands to get the work done is nothing but a riot and a disorderly mob. Oh my, see, we're putting this all back on Jesus. And if you can understand it, you can get happy, like I'm trying to show you what Brother Branham is saying here. And listen, the Christians can't get this. These are not Christians here this morning. This is bride. This is Mrs. Jesus. She, the identity. So now, in Genesis 3, all the way through, we find in here, and you know the story, the serpent, the beast, the serpent, who is the beast, he comes and he says to Eve, hey, has God said you shall not eat of every tree? The woman said, that's exactly right. We can have all of the trees that grow in the garden, but the tree in the midst, she put it right, she was truthful, the tree in the midst did not grow out of the dirt. Because if there's a tree that will kill you when you eat it, it did not come out of the ground. Period. Huh? Well, come on. We're not a bunch of dumbbells, are we? Does arsenic grow out of the ground? No, it's in the ground. So if I give you a beet and a plate of arsenic, well, I can eat the beet because it came out of the ground. That's fine. The arsenic, it didn't grow. It was there. Forget it. Well, I'll eat the arsenic. Great. Go ahead. Die. Have a few good belly cramps before you die, too. Stupidity is magnified by pain. If you don't think so, now that's a very cogent thing I said right there. That wasn't sort of a cliche. You look to the future, you'll find out what I said. And I'm not a prophet. Now, Genesis 1 and 13, 3, 1 to 13, it tells you that you can't eat that. Don't touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die, because God knows in the days thereof, and then your eyes be open, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you know that's something that evidently God did not say to Adam and Eve, but the devil knew that it was true, and he said it. And the devil can tell you a truth to destroy you. Why? Because it's taken completely out of context and put in another place or another time. What about the Seventh-day Adventists? They all died under Mrs. Miller. Was it Miller? White. With her phony, stupid prophecy. But boy, she had a lot of truth. Women do. But they're gullible. The female spirit was not meant to contend with the enemy. You get that in the type, the church cannot contend with the enemy. It's got to have the spirit of the living God, God in our midst. If God were not in our midst today, we could not contend with the enemy. Because he's only one word off today, just about one word off every place you turn. And he's got all the gifts manifested. He's got the Benny Hinn's out there. Go whoop in Evander Holyfield's face, and the big world champion boxer I saw, because the film was given to me, plop, bouncing on the ground, comes up healed. Then the doctors say, well, we misdiagnosed. Oh God, you talk of, let's go home and vomit. I want you vomiting in your seats. I'm kidding. I feel like vomiting. My stomach just wants to go, ooh. Doesn't it make you just nauseated? Just nauseated. And they're supposed to be intelligent people. Oh, merciful God. I don't know. Do you think the devil, when he came in the garden and the beast, was a doctor, a lawyer, or a journalist? Or was he all three? Well, anyway, let's get on here. Because this is really serious. She's caught in her nakedness. And they try to cover it because she and her husband are in their nakedness. And the word naked comes from the word smooth. And if you can't take it from there, I won't talk about it this morning. I'll do another time. And so, all right, they're messed up. And God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee thou wast naked?" Who told you? Now, evidently, there was something that they were perfectly capable of, but in doing it, it destroyed something within them. And it made them realize this was not right. Now, unless you're completely perverted under some devilish religion, there isn't anybody in his right mind, and this runs in the billions, who doesn't know that premarital sex or sex outside of the will of God somehow is not right. And it may be very pleasurable, but it still isn't right. And that wrongness does something even greater than people realize, because it sets off a mechanism which will eventually produce AIDS. The mechanism will produce homosexuality. And everything filthy, animalism, you name it, is there and will produce death. The body will succumb. And the bodies today are rotting while they're walking. Syphilis and gonorrhea is that type of death, but AIDS is a million times worse. Did you notice today the papers? They put the picture of this man in up there in New York, Chautauqua area, that's just outside of Buffalo, if it's what I'm thinking about. He had sex with pretty close to 100 girls, one as young as 13, for drugs. He has HIV, AIDS, and now they figure hundreds are infested. One person brings to light, and yet they're still trying to tell us, oh, we're conquering AIDS. Oh, AIDS is just under the table now. And suddenly, blam! Next week is going to be, oh, hey, is it really getting good? We're overcoming. 6 more weeks, bam! And what about all the blams that nobody knows about? Just thank God we're not doing those things. And there's only one reason. Because the sheep hear the voice. They don't cohabit with pigs. Now, we go down here, and it says, "The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And actually, he's saying the procreator, because she was with him. And we talk of that procreative meaning bringing forth children. And the Lord said, God said unto the woman, as Jehovah Elohim said, "What is it thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent completely beguiled me, morally and physically seduced me. I was a pawn to his lust, to his urge, and I'm pregnant." And I think every man and woman ought to teach his daughter that the man and woman's act of intercourse with the man lasts just a few minutes, but with a woman it's a solid 9 months. You better think about it. Because parents have an obligation to do more than just try to hide behind a little thin veneer or spare the little feelings of guilt or something, whatever it is, they should be very, very open. And because they weren't open, the schools did it, and they opened up Pandora's box instead of knowledge, which is true. Every filthy sin has come from our schools today because the homes didn't do right by their kids. Now it's come to the place we did it, so the kids will do it. So that's fine. Well, it's not fine. Now, so we see that Eve, by her interruption, or by what she did, number three was enacted rather than number two. And so now we find adultery, whoredom, illegitimate child. Now then, carefully looking at Genesis 3 and 15, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here we hear the woman's seed. Now this is spoken word. But watch. Before it was spoken, it was a thought. And after it was a thought, the premise, it was written in a book. Then it was spoken. So therefore, the speaking of this particular word does not mean that the chronology is perfect, because the chronology is not perfect. The chronology was already in heaven, and the thought was, exactly, let us make man in our image, and let us therefore bring forth after our own image, and let us have our children in that image successively. But it wasn't. She blew it. As Brother Branham said, the beast or the serpent got to her before Adam did. And now she has twins. Now, Seth, Abel, every child of Adam and Eve was a true, legitimate child of Almighty God. Cain had to, of course, take his half-sister after his mother's flesh. And the hybridization thereof corrupted the flesh more and more. And since lust started with the beast, and remember, true intercourse in marriage is not lust. It's sensuality, but it is not lustful. Because how can you lust after that which is yours? You already possess it. It then be a state of coveting. You can't covet your wife, she's yours. She can't covet you because you're hers. So now you have things all skewed up here, and it's very, very bad. Now, even though this is spoken after the fall, it had to be in divine order as Eve's promise before either Adam or Eve appeared. See? Remember, this was spoken to Eve. But before this was spoken to Eve in Genesis 3, it was already spoken to her in Genesis 1:26-28. And in Genesis 1:26-28 was fulfilled only in Jesus, the Christ. So she should have borne Christ. Now remember, Mary. God spoke to her. And she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. Did Eve say that? No, she didn't say that. She said, let it be unto me according to what the devil said about the word. If she'd have said no, and remember, Brother Branham said she had to get out from behind the word before anything could happen. The minute she got out from behind the word, she entered into a process of reasoning. Therefore, the mind is the most important thing you have to flood with the word of God. And don't you even talk about your heart being flooded with the word of God or your soul before you consider your mind. Because it had been only the processes of the soul, Eve wouldn't have gone nowhere with the devil. It's the mind. And in the mind lies reasonings. And if the reasonings go down into your heart, you will go to hell as sure as you are reasoning in your heart. You don't reason in your heart. You receive in your heart the engrafted word of God. Then anything come out of that goes back to the mind. And the mind says, now look, this is what God said. Go that way. Do that thing. Don't listen to this. Don't do that. Don't go there. Come over here. like I said last night, separate, you know, come to the Bible said in the last days, you come together even more often. And there's only one place I know where they talks about assembling that I like. It's in the book of Acts, but Paul deliberately talks about assembling for the Lord's Supper. And yet I find people don't mind missing it. No problem. I got news for you. You're wrong. There's something wrong with your head because there's something wrong with the heart. Your teaching is faulty somewhere. If it has been, it's corrected now. So, all right. Mary said, according to thy word. And if Eve had said that, she'd have borne Christ, who is the first fruit, because it's proven that he is physically, therefore he must have been back there. Amen. And if you think he wasn't, you've got to be crazy. Because before there was a speck of stardust or an atom or anything at all, which is the truth, the atom, the light formed and there was only God for it to form from. And when you have a child, a baby, what's it to form from? Only what the mother and father are. Boy, now look at today. What is this? Is a woman in Ohio here going to have 7 babies? That's littering like a pig or a dog. Do you know that twins are not accepted in any place hardly in this world except, you know, kind of the downtrodden bunch of white people? You know in the Bible that they talked about twins only in the light of sheep having twins because they like lots of sheep? Or animals having twins? Twins weren't looked upon in Scripture as anything too great. And if you want to follow the Scripture and you look at twins, you got a problem. You got Cain and Abel. You got Esau and Jacob. Then you come down to typing Jesus and Judas. Now these people take fertility pills and they're coming like an animal. And what does my Bible say about that? It says, what Eve did in the beginning greatly multiplies her conception. An animal, female animal can have a baby, most of them, not all of them. Now, I'm not that stupid, I don't know a little bit about biology and physiology. But most, a lot of them just have a baby once a year. Some can litter out and have more babies. A woman. Every 28 days. She's right there in the place to have a child. See where this came from now. Let's look at Mary again. Be it unto me according to thy word. And there's the first fruit. And as I've said before, you show me one place in history where every child of Mary by Joseph was not a true child of God. I don't believe that there was one child in that family that did not become an absolute dutiful bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus had brothers. They were criticized. Just like Mary got out of shape that time. She said, do what, you know, just go ahead and listen to these people and, you know, have a little wine here. And again, Brother Branham brought I and my father have soared. She said, I must be about my father's business. He gave her the truth right to her lie right. Now, she didn't mean to lie. She's a human being. She's a nice person. You know, I don't know criticism there at all. But she was out of order just the same. And Brother Branham showed where his wife was out of order when she said, well, Bill, why don't you take care of him? You know, so all these things you've got to look at. But I look at it. Now, this is definitely so. We talked about the spoken word. Should have been Christ born. This is definitely so because Adam's seed never did fulfill Genesis 1:26-28. And Adam and Eve certainly didn't. He only got as far as talking to the animals. You're a cow, you're a horse, you're a pig, you're a dog, and hey, you've got dogs over here. There's 28 varieties right there. And you pigs, there's 18 varieties of you. You're a Duroc. Is that a pig? Duroc, yeah. And, I used to know them. Semi-farmer. We lived in a little plot of land, and we had cattle, and we had a couple of horses, and we had some pigs. Man, those pigs tasted good. Chickens tasted better. Beef was fabulous. Licked the pan. Today, even promising you first grade beef isn't going to fill that one. All right, now listen. Adam's seed never did fulfill Genesis 1:26-28. Only Jesus and His redeemed. Okay, Ephesians 1. Now, here's the beautiful thing. A good predestinationist that understands predestination like some good hard shell Baptists and some more, they can take this, but they can't understand it. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to adoption children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, you can see right there what it's telling you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly placing according as He had chosen us in Him. Where were we? The same place where Jesus was. Where was Jesus in God? So the fullness of the Godhead bodily had to come through Jesus to Adam and on down. Let us make man in our image. So therefore, if God were to be born, or His image be born, I don't care if it was bred in an incubator by chemicals. It would have hands and feet and arms and legs and every appurtenance that you and I've got. Well, come on. Isn't that what came forth when God placed an egg and a sperm in the womb of Eve? And all she did was supply the chemicals? Then can't you see that we have not only the possibility of being a part of God, but we were a part of God, even though in this form. Don't look at the form. You're going to have the same form, but changed. If visions are correct, Paul is still going to be small and thin with a hooked nose. Take a good look at mine. I'll be there in the resurrection. Deacon all. We had a guy back in our town, his name was Bell. And he had such a proboscis, they called him Beaky Bell. Now, if he's a lamb, Beaky Bell's going to be there with the beak. They had a guy in my brother-in-law's place, his name was Hewitt. He had a nose like this, they called him Plowshare Hewitt. Now, if he's born again, he could have a plowshare nose. He'll be there with the plowshare nose. And if you've had yours bobbed, it's going to come back. So get with it. Get with it. Get over this stuff on the outside. It's what's on the inside that counts. Like that's what God showed Brother Branham. The inner man flourishing in youth, the outer man perishing. He looked like a monstrous death head in that picture. But round about him were all nine gifts of the Spirit. Miracle power of Almighty God. Prophet of God standing there. God descended in human flesh. Come back in human flesh. Not that that flesh was God, but in the flesh He came manifest. Here he was, the inner man, just getting renewed day by day with the Word. The outer man perishing. Yeah, we got people here with bad backs. We got Steve sitting back there with a bad back. One of these days, Steve, don't worry. If you don't get it here, you'll get it there. Get a brand new back. I got a bad back too. Don't let it bother me because it really doesn't. I praise God the way my vertebrae are everything else. I praise God in the bottom of my heart that I don't suffer like some people. I'm amazed. I stand all amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Not only wonder how He could love me, but how He's so good to me. When in my sane, sensible moments, I realize the grace and goodness of God, which is truly wonderful. All right. This is definitely so because Adam's seed never did fulfill Genesis 1:26-28. Only Jesus and His redeemed in Ephesians 1:3-6. They were the ones. And note, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, is Genesis 3:15. The elder brother. And as the Scripture says, He was before all. Then if He was before all, she should have borne Him. But she didn't. So He comes as Brother Branham said here. Where am I? Oh, turn over. He said, He was that seed that Eve should have produced. Do you get it? He was the seed that Eve was to produce, but she hybridized it by disbelieving God's Word. So He was that seed. And the only way that life could be in the reproduction of life had to come through that seed. And that seed They were all seed of God, but that seed had to die in order to spread out the light to come back upon us. See? Look at the life that Eve had was the life that Adam had. And they had to get together to bring forth the manifestation. So we, as the seed of God, have His life come back upon us to bring forth the manifestation and be in His image and His glory. Come on, that's no hard thing to understand. Okay, where am I? All right. Now, notice then, Ephesians 1, 8 to 23, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. That's God doing it, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, way back there in foreknowledge, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, just a minute. How can you put them all in Christ if He weren't there to begin with? That's why the body rejects the these intrusions of other cells. Unless it's prenatal. Which means the life is there, but it hasn't come to the place of the manifestation. To that adulthood, as it were. You can take prenatal cells right now, they're doing it. We put that in the church age book. Oh, the Pentecostals laughed and laughed and laughed, and they quoted doctors, bunch of jackasses. And the bigger the jackass, the bigger the mouth, the bigger the brain. And the bigger the price they'll pay at the end of the road. Oh, they hated the church age book. Oh, how they ranted and raved at the book. That's Pentecostals in Canada. And I told you, within 6 weeks, Time magazine came with about 14, 15 pages on cellular therapy. Now what do they want? They want to raise pig organs to get things to help you into diseases. And the strange lot of the things they're working on are the pig's testicles. That'll make you think, won't it? That's where the life is, coming from the blood for reproduction. Oh, hey, just give me time, a little more study. I'll take the top off of everything. You bet your life, I'm ready for it. Oh, sure, they're afraid right now that women are going to be paid to have fetuses and abortions to give men rejuvenation and women rejuvenation. You won't have to worry about collagen and have your little touch-up wrinkles here and all. You'll be rejuvenated. Come on, you can't say you haven't been warned. I've been preaching this before Brother Branham died. I've been involved in this. I know personally the greatest authority in the world on this subject, Dr. Kuno. So don't tell me. You want to know, ask some questions. What I don't know, I can phone him. Right down here, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed, you were sprinkled with that life. Hey, but you always were saved. What's it for? Redemption of your body. Until the redemption of purchased possession of the praise of His glory. Wherefore also I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and so on. This is the time we live in, the appearing, the parousia, the presence. And then it says here, at that time, we'll know what is exceeding greatness and power to us who believe. Thus saith the Lord. As Brother Branham said, we've seen the Word of God manifested in power. We've not seen it manifested in revelation. We've got both now, the opening of the seals. Time and eternity blended. Hallelujah. The whole thing is there before us. Which He wrought in Christ, He raised from the dead and sent in bodies, and then His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name this name, not in this world, but in the world to come. So what's the manifestation? The seed, Jesus. And Eve could have borne Him first fruit. And she blew it. What do women feel like now? You let some man get to you before your husband. Think it over, women. Let's nail it down. Oh, these guys criticize Lee Dale because he doesn't believe in a life. Oh, doesn't he? Let me go to their congregation, preach. I'm preaching this morning, and see who believes in a life. Or you won't go to hell. But Brother Brown has said a woman could be forgiven but never justified. Why? Because she did it. She did it. I got another question coming up here, and I'll take you right back and give you the answer, too. Men have no right to do those things, nor women, because the woman is a sacred vessel for childbearing and given to the man to bear children. And in the act, if she has a consummated act with any man, of sexual intercourse, that is for one thing in the eyes of Almighty God, it is for conception. Now, don't think it's not for pleasure also. That is if you're married. And you can control birth if you want to stay away from a woman from 7 to 10 days. You got your choice. I'm telling you and teaching what nobody ever taught me. I would to God I had been taught. Because I know from my birth from God, I could have done what I should have done, though I've only had one woman in all my life. That's only the grace of Almighty God and something within me. So you don't go that way. I'm not criticizing those that made errors and those that messed up, but I'm telling you, you better recognize what the Scripture says and thank God that you are redeemed and you will not, as Brother Branham said, ever go that way again. Don't ever do it again. See? Now, Genesis 1:26-28, which we read, and Genesis 2 and 7, all the way to 2:23, to the fourth chapter, into Genesis 3 and 20. Now let's go back there. And in the third chapter, Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, just a minute. She was the mother of all living, knows absolutely then, Adam knew that she was already going to bear Cain and going to bear his son, in whom the lifelines were with a proper depository, which is the womb of a woman, that life would come forth. And so now you got the two seeds on earth. And there's where Brother Branham tried to take me the first time he talked to me about serpent seed. And he said, but Lee, don't you see, there's a seed mentioned there. But I never caught it till he preached it. And I begin to understand that he was that vindicated prophet who knew. What I'm teaching you today, what I taught simply from Brother Branham, and I've taken over 45 minutes to take a little paragraph to show you, you can go through scripture after scripture and you can find that Brother Branham was 100% correct. Well, way past time. Is it all on one tape? Doc, why don't you tell me? Well, I don't have to preach another sermon. I can cut this back then by what, instead of two, I can cut it back by one. Well, I don't say, I'm sorry I kept you. The point is I wanted to cover this and it's covered. This is just part, this is one of the questions. And the next question answering will go back to this one and show you what you want to know about how it came over on the ark. To the best of my ability, I can take you to scripture and show you. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't believe I am. But as Brother Branham said, it came over on the ark. That is my guidepost. That is my maxim, my principle, my ultimate. And I will look at it. And I will try to look at it and say, now, is there scripture for this? And I think I have the scripture. So, all right. It's time to go and have lunch. Then depart until we come together, and you'll come together, of course, Wednesday again to service here at 7:30. If I feel real good enough to it, I will come back Sunday. I don't say that I will. And the more that you people help me, the more I can come back, because I do have to have a lot of help at this point. The more you can sacrifice a little bit, then I feel I can sacrifice. Not that I wouldn't anyway, but the point is, it's much better to preach when I'm feeling better than when I'm not feeling so great. So anyway, we'll try to get back. and clean up all the answers we can and see where the Lord takes us spiritually, physically. I don't know. But our times are in His hands, and may then we give our time to Him, wherein our time in His hands will be really productive of what is of grace and truth to the glory of God, not to human instincts and human desires, right? So let's rise and be dismissed. Now, Heavenly Father, we want to thank You again for Your help today. And I believe, Lord, we have been helped. Not that we've answered every single point, not everything as clear as we would like to have it. But, Lord, in my own mind, I can see the clarity here, as the prophet taught it, that Eve should have borne that seed. Should have, because He was that first fruit, and nobody can deny it right from the beginning. And now again, He will be, and we all standing with Him, glorifying God, especially when the Son hands back the whole entirety to the Father, and the Father becomes all in and all. Oh my, my, what a tremendous, tremendous time that will be. All we know is that it makes us rejoice and declare Your glory and praise You for having a part in it. And we do thank You for it. As Brother Branham always prayed, we pray therefore with him, Lord, heal the sick amongst us. Help the people to be alert, to be strong and healthy. Help them, Lord, because today we know we have a fulfillment as we have never seen it before, as when John prayed, I pray and wish above all else that You may prosper and be in health as Your soul prospers. And there never was a time when people had a prosperous soul or the ability to have that prosperous soul as of this hour. And there never was a time when there was a richness upon the earth. So people are fully aware of and indulging in and enjoying the fullness of financial ability and good things of this life. But Lord, there is a sickness in the body. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, to attain to the threefold, that our bodies be healthy, Lord, really healthy, and may it be to serve You. Grant, Lord, to us today that if there lies within us any thought that we will not serve Thee the more and rejoice in You the more and do Your will, then, Lord, we are not worthy to have healthy bodies. We simply are not in that point of the adoption. But grant, Lord, that we settle our minds as never before, and our determination, setting our faces like flints toward the holy city. Give us that good health and well-being, Lord, to use for Your glory in our waking moments, in any part of our lives, not indulging in the flesh, although the flesh certainly has a part of this life, eating and drinking and doing those things which are incumbent upon us, but not forsaking, assembling ourselves together, not forsaking any time where there's an opportunity to manifest Your sweetness, Your kindness, Your love, Your word, whatever way. Lord, that's our heart's desire anyway. We wouldn't want it otherwise. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.